The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. Live from Dorm 221, you are now tuning in to Soul Love, a podcast about my experiences with my mental health and how I dealt with it. I'm Josh, and I'm the host, and I hope you enjoy. Welcome, welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Soul Love. Thank you once again for being here and tuning into episode 3. I hope you had a great week and it was not too stressful or too much of a burden for you. I can't even lie, I had a pretty hard week. Life and school has definitely been getting the best of me as of late. Although, I'm still thankful for everything that has been going on. I always say, you must go through the dark times to make it to the light. Anyways, let's get into today's episode. Today's topic is treatment options for mental health. As we have talked about in the previous episode, there are a lot of stigmas surrounding the topic of getting treatment towards your mental health. And guys, I'm here to tell you that there's absolutely no problem with getting any help. It is okay to reach out every now and then. This is your friendly reminder that you are not alone and that speaking out and getting help with your mental illness will slowly begin to improve and you will slowly be able to get a grip and control on your emotions. So Josh, which two treatment options for your mental health will you be talking about today? Great question. Today, we will be talking about two sorts of treatments for your mental health. The first being psychotherapy. To define psychotherapy, I refer to verywellmind.com. Their definition of this type of therapy is that it is often referred to as talk therapy. They say that there are various approaches to psychotherapy, and many therapies specialize in a particular type of therapy to treat depression. Psychotherapy is actually a type of therapy that I went through during my freshman year of college, actually. I met with a therapist and we were able to meet over Zoom during the pandemic. During our sessions, I would be able to vent to her about what I was thinking about during the previous week. I was pretty skeptical about the therapy at first, but after a few sessions, I was hooked on it. After each session, my mind would improve and I would be able to live life a little bit easier each and every day. I felt just like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders and I just felt so free. So I definitely am an advocate for therapy. It truly does help. The second type of treatment option I would also recommend does not really have a specific name for it, but I would definitely recommend it participating in. It's called self-help strategies. This is an alternative option for people that do not want to involve themselves in therapy and or prescription medications. I'm definitely an advocate for this type of treatment option as well. It is a lot more natural, and I feel as if there's less stigma towards self-help strategies because it really is not like professional treatment per se, but rather towards self-care. And who is not an advocate for self-care? Like, come on, guys. For the summer, actually, after I decided I did not want to keep doing therapy, I participated in self-help strategies. And I can't even lie, you feel so great. For me, at least, you feel as if you're doing something with your life. Especially during the summer for me, I was able to do anything I wanted since there was no school. I was able to build up a great schedule and just felt so great. I could truly say that summer 2021 was the best summer I have had in a while because this summer was truly dedicated to myself and building myself to be a better person mentally and physically. Dedicating yourself to either of these types of treatment will definitely help you be able to fix your mindset, improve your mental health, and be able to live your life without your mental illness controlling every aspect of your life. I will say this though, you must truly dedicate your life to either of these treatments. You can't just do one session of therapy and expect it to be 100% okay. You must go to each session and make the most out of it. I promise you, if you dedicate to yourself at least 2 months of sessions of therapy or participate in self-help strategies for another 2 months, your life will change. So again, according to verywellmind.com, psychotherapy is referred to as talk therapy. According to this website as well, there are many types of psychotherapy that are available to many people. I will be talking about the top three types of psychotherapy from this website. The first of the three is cognitive behavioral therapy. VeryWellMind defines this type of psychotherapy, and I quote, it as a form of talk therapy designed to help you change any negative thought or behavior patterns that may be contributing to or worsening your depression. This therapy is also generally short-term and focuses on your current problems and learning new coping skills. To add more onto that, this type of therapy helps folks learn how to change their thought patterns. It pretty much helps people not to think negatively about different situations they are put into. This type of therapy changes your thoughts through techniques. For example, a person may ask to start journaling their thoughts. I've done this once myself, and I was able to see how negative thoughts really affect my mood. Just writing down thoughts really makes you realize how your thinking needs to be changed immediately. It kind of motivates you to be a better person in a way. Very Well Mind gives us a few techniques within cognitive behavioral therapy. A few consist of identifying negative thoughts, practicing new skills, goal setting, problem solving, and self-monitoring. Cognitive behavioral therapy can benefit a few things. It can help with addiction, anxiety, depression, and personality disorders. This strategy is used to be a short-term treatment to help people learn to focus on the present. The second of the three is social skills training. This strategy is meant to teach you how to interact with others so you can have healthy relationships with your friends and or family. Very Well Mind defines this strategy as a type of behavioral therapy used to improve social skills in people with mental disorders. This strategy is used by teachers and therapists to help people with mental illnesses. The technique allows you to assess yourself and helps you identify your skill deficits and impairments. The end goal to this technique is to realize the best goal targets for social skills training for your particular situation. Some techniques within social skills training consist of behavioral rehearsal, corrective feedback, instruction, positive reinforcement, or weekly homework assignments. The main focus of SST is to improve your social skills. So I definitely recommend this type of treatment, especially if you are dealing with social anxiety. With just the right amount of practice within SST, you can improve your confidence, reduce your anxiety, and boost your self-esteem. Doing this could really help you in the long run for sure. I used to be introverted, but now I love meeting new people and I feel as if my confidence levels have increased. Although I still feel doubtful at times, I can definitely say my social anxiety has begun to wear off over time. The last of the three of psychotherapy is problem-solving therapy. According to Very Well Mind, this type of therapy aims to define your most pressing issues, then guides you to come up with multiple ways to overcome them. We all know that problem solving is a mental process that we use to analyze and solve problems. In terms of mental health, though, there are steps that we can take to identify the situation we are in. Very Well Mind comes up with a few steps to make this process easy. These steps are identifying the problem, defining the problem, forming a strategy, organizing information, allocating resources, monitoring progress, evaluating the results. In my opinion, out of all these steps for me at least, the first step, identifying the problem, is already hard. Sometimes there are times where there's just no problem. I've definitely been in that so many situations like that. Some days nothing happens, but I just feel sad or down. Does it make sense? No. But yes, the first step has to be the hardest. Because sometimes you either don't know or you just don't want to come to terms with why you're feeling sad or feeling that way. I feel like that's another placebo or stigma with mental health. Sometimes it's hard to admit when you're sad or feeling the way you are. You don't want to admit it because maybe you think the way you're feeling is invalid when it really isn't. That's just life though. Sometimes you're embarrassed by the way you feel, but I'm here to reassure you that all your feelings are valid. We're just human and that's the way we are. The last and final topic I will be talking about is self-help strategies. Like I said earlier, these tactics are for you if you do not want to go to, you know, the professional route or the route of being medicated with antidepressants or any types of medication for your mental health, or just even if you cannot access professional help. I actually am in favor of these strategies rather than professional help, but then again, that's just me, and it's totally up to you to what you decide to do. Before we get into this, I just want to remind you all that you should take your symptoms of depression seriously, because depression does not just go away on its own. You should not think it will pass over time, because if you do not get the help you need and deserve, it could get worse over time. Never feel embarrassed to get help or ask for help. These self-help strategies that Very Well Mind gives us are actually things I did in the summer to improve myself. I promise you that these strategies will help you in the long run. Not only will it help you mentally, but also help your overall health. All right, let's get into it. The first of these self-help strategies is get more sleep. How cliche, right? Your overall sleep time can affect your mood. You and I both know that when you get absolutely no sleep the night before and you have to face the day ahead of you, your overall mood drops because all you can think about is going back to your bed and sleeping. You get really moody throughout the day, and that affects your mental as well. So what can you do about this is try sleeping at a decent time. And yes, I know you're probably thinking, but Josh, I can't sleep early. I can never sleep. I totally get that. Understandable. One thing I usually do before bed is to try to relax myself as much as possible. Take a warm shower. Avoid any homework or anything stressful. Do things to make you feel relaxed. And most importantly, I know it's hard because it was hard for me for a while, but avoid that phone. As hard as that is to try to give up your phone before you go to sleep, prioritize your sleep before anything else. Once you learn that, your sleep will be amazing. You'll probably sleep before 10. It's pretty insane to think about considering I'm a college student and I don't sleep until like 2 a.m. every night, but I guess I gotta start taking my own advice. All right, next, try to get a little exercise in every day. I'm not saying train hard to the point like you're training to be a super athlete, but try to get at least 30 minutes to an hour of physical activity a day. It could literally just be you walking around the block and getting some sunlight, or just walking to class. I promise you, caring about your mental health as much as your physical health can go hand in hand. Next is changing your thoughts. Yes, I know, pretty cliche and easier said than done once again. But yes, when you learn how to think positively instead of negatively all the time, it could change your overall mood and mental state. Try to recognize when you are thinking negatively. Find the good in the bad instead of the bad in the good. I know when I'm down, I can never see the good and bad. I beat myself up too much. I tend to look at the bad and good sometimes too. It's unhealthy. Stay positive. Remember that. All right. Next is to get a handle on your stress levels. I know life can get a little stressful sometimes, but as I always say, we must take our breaks. It is so hard to live life with your foot on the gas pedal the whole time. Give yourself time to breathe and relax and just be by yourself and regain inner peace and then go back to what you're doing. One thing I do when I feel stressed is go to the gym. That is my favorite outlet to stress. And once I am done with the gym, I feel relaxed and I'm ready to go back to what I was doing. I also just feel really good after because I feel like I'm actually doing something with my life and I'm getting physically fit. So that could be something for you too. But then again, it's not really for everybody. So I don't know. Lastly, tend to your social life. Although being alone is something you tend to do when you're feeling depressed, please know that it is better to go at your depression with someone else rather than alone. Two is always better than one. Another thing, even if you feel like you do not feel like going out, try reaching out in a way that is comfortable for you. People that feel depressed tend to withdraw from people. Please try not to do that. It is better than somebody knows about you, what you're going through, rather than being alone. And with that line, that concludes my third episode of Soul Love. Once again, thank you so much for being here and tuning into my third episode. Wherever you are, once again, in your car, at your dorm, going to work, wherever, I really appreciate you just being here. Always remember, and I will say this every time at the end of my episode, take your breaks and continue to take yourself from me. I'm so proud of you. You have no idea. And always remember as well, stay up, stay humble, stay blessed. All right. Peace out, guys.